Let's just take a moment to just continue in worship. Just take a moment and just envision the Lord sitting on his throne with angels all around him crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was and is to come, who reigns forever and ever and ever, who's seated in majesty. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Thank you, Lord." Okay, you may be seated. Good morning, everyone. Mr. Joe is on his way back. As we speak, he's flying over the Atlantic Ocean. So, oh, he's in Canada now. So he's going pretty fast. But, yeah, there were some concerns that there was going to be a connection missed in Paris, and all of that fell into place, and he met all his connections just right. So praise God. Thank you for your prayers. There is power in prayers. Amen. So it's going to be a little bit different today. I'm going to be before you briefly. I'll be speaking for maybe about 15 minutes. And then we're going to have Victoria stand up and speak. And I don't see Christine. Okay. So Christine's going to give up and give her testimony because there are some very special things happening with her. She's in the midst of a miracle transforming. So you got to stay and hear her testimony because it is awesome. It's awesome. If you do not believe that healing is for today, you got to hear this message because this lady, I'm going to let you tell because I can't. I'm going to run around the walls here. But, you know, of course, in your brochures, you have the announcements for the week, and we've got some birthdays for this month. And happy birthday, Miss Cindy. Happy birthday. And in your bulletins, this is a really neat thing. They've got a special report for New Covenant Ministries and how our giving's impacting the world here. And we had just finished a project interpreting the Word of God into the native language of the Jula people of the Ivory Coast in Africa. And it's really making an impact. So praise God for that. And our connection, our partnership with faith comes by hearing. So really interesting. There's three words that have been resonating in my spirit for the past couple of days. And those three words are, "It is finished." And 2 o'clock in the morning, just hearing it real loud, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished." And so, you know, I kept hearing it, and it's like, "Okay, Lord, what's finished? What's finished? You know, it's finished. It's finished." So he had me go back and look at the book of John, where I believe that's the only place where he's got it in there where Jesus said, "It is finished," right before he died. And so the Greek word for "it is finished" is, it's, I can't say it right, but it's tetelestai. It's T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. And that word is a Greek financial term that means paid in full. So when Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't just talking about his job on earth or his work here is finished. He was talking about our debt of sin to the Lord. It is finished. The prophecies that had come forth about him declaring his coming and what was to take place, and the one before him crying out, prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way. The prophecies of his life, the prophecies of his resurrection and his death was completed when he gave his life upon the cross. It was finished. But most importantly, the power and sin of Satan was finished. So when you think of those three words, it is finished. It carries a lot of weight. All of the fear that Satan has held over his people and is holding over his people, it is finished. The sickness that he's holding over his people, over God's people, it is finished. The depression, the financial struggle, the struggle with your identity, the struggle with relationships, the struggle with just anything that's going on in your life right now. When Jesus died on that cross, he said, it is finished. I'm sure the enemy didn't understand that either when he said, it is finished. Because I'm sure when he died on the cross, the enemy thought it was finished. But when he died and he rose again the third day, that put it all into perspective. Because not only was all of this that the enemy held over us finished, but the fear of death was taken. The fear of the grave, the power of the grave was taken. So even for us, when we are finished here, it's just the beginning for us. It's just the beginning. So when he said it is finished, no longer did we have to suffer the attacks of the enemy. Because when he left the Holy Spirit, and not only that, he left us an armor. He left us an armor. Ephesians 6 tells us all the parts of that armor. And that faith, that shield of faith we have, that faith that we have in him is what we need and the helmet of salvation. That's what helps us and empowers all the rest of that armor. God released the strategy. He released the game plan. He exposed the enemy for what he truly was, defeatable and powerless. So when Jesus said it was finished, he gave us all the information we need to defeat the enemy. Because he's finished. There is no more game plan for him. Because in the Word of God, we have what his strategy is. We know what his weapons are. We know how he functions. We know how he comes at us. We know all his different tactics that he has. But God also gives us a way to counteract that. So he gives us a battle strategy. So it's over for the enemy. Because when he said it was over, it was finished, it was done with, that's it. It's done. No matter how he comes at us, no matter what he throws at us, no matter what he says to us or what he does to us, the fact of the matter is, he's defeated. He's defeated. So in those three little words, it is finished. That's something I would like to have everyone just remember. And just dwell on those three little words. It is finished. If we could only grasp the amount of power and authority that we have within us because of the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If we could only grasp what it is that we have and grasp what it is that we can utilize, we haven't even begun to tap into what we have within us. We haven't even begun to tap into it. If we were to tap into that, just tap into it, you would begin to see the miracles begin to happen. You would begin to see the wonders begin to happen. We would begin to see prophetic words coming forth. You would begin to see healings taking place. You would begin to see those who are on death's bed being raised up. You would begin to see just speaking the word, and the moment the word spoken out, things begin to change. You would walk into a room and the atmosphere would automatically begin to change. And everything in the atmosphere and everything in that room that was not for God and was not godly would be eradicated just at your presence walking into the room. I've walked down streets and I've seen people, I'll be walking down the street and there'll be someone else coming at me and immediately they'll cross the street. They'll cross and they'll walk, and when they get past me, they'll cross back over. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be with the power inside us. We walk with our heads high. We walk with our shoulders back because we are kingdom citizens. We dwell in a kingdom that cannot be rocked. We dwell in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We dwell in a kingdom that reigns forever. We dwell in a kingdom where the king is the king of kings and lord of lords. And there is no other king above him. There's no other king beside him. There's no other king around him. He is Lord. He is king. And when we dwell in that kingdom, we are his kingdom citizens, and we have the authority, we have the power of that king. When he said it was finished, that was passed down to us. So in saying that, whatever you're going through, whether it's sickness, whether it's struggles in your life, whatever it is, go back to the cross. I say this so many times. You're having struggles. Go back to the cross. Go back to the cross. Go back to the cross and pick up what Jesus did and redetermine what it is he accomplished at that cross, because everything he took on that cross, the cup he drank, he prayed three times before he got to the cross. Lord, if it's your will, please let this cup pass from me. He prayed three times to let that cup pass, but then he said, nevertheless, your will and not my will be done. When he died on that cross, everything he took, all the beatings he took, everything that he went through was to take all of this away from us, to give us a way out, so that he could take that away from us, so that we could function in the way that we need to function. So I'm just going to leave this with you. When you go through things, and when things start coming at you, which they do, and sometimes they come at you from every side, and it seems like a snowball effect. It's one thing, and then another thing, and then another thing, and then another thing, and then another thing. And before you know it, it's like this big snowball rolling down the hill, and it's nonstop, and you don't know which way to go or what you're going to do. Go back and think, it is finished. It is finished. Amen. Okay, like I said, I'm gonna be brief. Victoria, may have her come up and speak for about 5 minutes and just give a little bit of what God's put on your heart.
What the Lord put on my heart actually connects with what Brenda just spoke, and I didn't know what Brenda was going to speak, but it really connects very much because the Lord gave me the word still. Stillness and being still before him, and the stillness of our soul. And the only way we can have stillness in our soul, peace, quietness in our soul, is because it is finished. Because of what he did for us on the cross, he gives us his perfect peace. And because of that stillness in our heart that comes from his Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of comfort. And in the book of John, the Lord said that be not troubled. Let not your heart be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And the Lord said, I have prepared mansions for you in heaven. Just put your trust in me. And he's here to give us the abundant life here and now also, not just when we go to heaven, but here and now. He wants us to have a glimpse of heaven on earth. You know, that's why he said, pray your kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. In God's kingdom, there is no sickness, there is no turmoil, there is no trouble, there is no disease, as Christine is going to tell us in a minute. And praise the Lord. And the Lord just gave me a few verses to share with you in regards with stillness, with being still. He said he's the God of the still voice, of the still small voice, and the God of the still waters. And he creates like still waters in our soul, you know. But in 1 Kings 19 and verse 12, the Lord said, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. So the Lord speaks to us with a still small voice because he wants us to pay attention and really just set aside every distraction so we can tune in into him. That's why he doesn't come with a very loud voice usually. Sometimes he does. But usually it's that still small voice, you know, because he wants to say, okay, how much are you going to pay attention to me? So we need to just shut down any other voices so we can hear his still small voice of comfort, of peace, of joy. And then in Psalm 23 and 2, the Lord says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So even if there is just a war raging around us, he still has a way to lead us in that oasis in the midst of the desert and in that still waters for our souls. So we can drink refreshing living waters from the fountain of his Holy Spirit. Then another verse in this is in Psalm 46 and 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So he says, as he leads us to the still waters, then he says, you be still. Let there be stillness in your soul. And he says, be still and know that I am God and I will be exalted in the earth. And he has been exalted in India now as Joe is there preaching the kingdom of heaven in there. And then in Psalm 84 and 9, let's go to Isaiah 13, 15. That's where the Lord said, for thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So it's in this quietness, in our intimate time with the Lord, like Mary sitting at his feet, that we have that confidence in him. And in returning and rest in him. And then finally, in Mark 4 and 39, is where Jesus speaking to the storm. So he's the one who's speaking just peace to our storm. And he says, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So because it is finished, there can be a great calm in our hearts. And he is the one that speaks peace to our storms of life. But he also has given us his word in our mouth. He said, I'll put my words in your mouth so you can speak to the storm too. So in the same way that Jesus spoke to the storm, he's encouraging us to speak to the storms in your life and say, peace, be still, because the stillness of God abides in you. Amen.
Thank you, Victoria. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing when the Holy Spirit works and he moves, how he just ties everything together. Because even as we were doing the praise and worship songs this morning, I was thinking, as the Lord was telling me what he wanted me to say, I'm like, man, this just all just ties in together. So it's pretty interesting. And now I'm going to ask Christine to come up and give her testimony. I'm speechless. I'm just speechless. This woman of God is going through a miracle right now, and it's on its way. It's happening. She's in the midst of it. So I'm just going to let her tell you what's transpired and what's been going on with her. And if this doesn't get you hyped up and doesn't get you moving because of how good the Lord is, I don't know what will. So.
You just had a spoiler alert. But there is a story to get to the spoiler alert, so I don't want to take a lot of time. But as you all know, hold on just a second. And I have documentation here. Okay, for those of you that don't know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer back in October of 2015. So I know that I heard the Lord tell me to not do chemo. I know that. So what do you do, right? What do you do when you have a tumor? We know that it was at least a stage 3 prognosis. They wanted to do an additional biopsy to determine if there was metastasis at that point. And after finding out that the protocol would not change based on the results of the additional biopsy, this was in a lymph node, I opted not to do the biopsy. So it could have been stage 4. We don't know. We know at the very least stage 3. So, again, I know the Lord told me to not do chemotherapy. So I've been walking down a path of faith, and he's given me direction to do natural therapies. Over the year and a half, I've done a number of things, you know, from vitamin C, IV, radically changing my diet. For those of you that knew me before, I was kind of chunky. And I've radically changed my diet, gone to a more plant-based diet. I do occasionally splurge on crepes or whatever, but I've only loosened up on that fairly recently. So that's the backstory. Most of you know that, but for those of you that haven't heard it, that kind of catches us up. I did find I visited with several different oncologists, and they all wanted me to do chemotherapy because that is the standard of care, and that's what insurance pays for. They don't pay for natural treatment. They don't pay for any of that. So we've spent tens of thousands of dollars out of pocket doing natural treatments, but I feel amazing. So thank you. I do need a new wardrobe because my clothes are too big. Anyway, so fast forward to last November, I did find another oncologist, and she wanted me to do chemo. And I hadn't done lab work. Gosh, it had been a while. Well, it was in June. At any rate, I was pretty apprehensive about it, but went in and did the lab work, and it came back really good. My tumor marker was in the normal range, but I still have this tumor, right? My other lab work looked great as well, but again, I still have this tumor. So I'm seeing evidence of cancer in my body. And not only is the tumor still there, but now I have an open wound over this tumor. And the outward evidence that I'm seeing is not good. I mean, it's pretty bad, and it's growing and getting bigger. But I know the Lord told me, do not do chemotherapy. So I'm standing on the word, standing on the word. We know that in Isaiah 46:10, he tells us that he declares the end from the beginning. We know that. I don't doubt that. We also know that in Deuteronomy 28, if any of you have any sickness in your body, you need to look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, starting probably about verse 15, it outlines what the curse looks like. And that's anything from poverty to sickness to your kids being taken from you, whether that's, you know, through, I don't know, the social system or whatever it is, whether they're engaged in things they shouldn't be engaged in. It covers the gamut. It outlines what the curse is. Now, we know in Galatians 3:13 that, and I want to quote this because I want you to hear what God says. It says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who was hanged on a tree. Now, I bring that up because that is the antidote right there for everything that you see in Exodus, or I'm sorry, in Deuteronomy 28. So anything, and it even mentions in Deuteronomy 28, it spells out specific sicknesses. So I've been standing on this. It specifically calls out consumption, fever, inflammation. Well, I have this wound that's inflamed. But it's spelled out here in Deuteronomy 28. It says that's part of the curse. So this open wound, right? And it calls out fiery heat. It also says, it calls out boils. It calls out tumors. It says tumors are part of the curse. Tumors. The scab and the itch from which you cannot be healed. There's references all over there. There's even one translation that calls out wounds. So I've been calling, that's part of the curse. You have got to go. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from it. But guess what? It's still there. The wound is still there, and it's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. Now, I feel good. I'm feeling well. I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. But this wound is still there, right? This wound has now been open. We're what, in February? It feels like June out there, so I'm a little confused. But it is February. But now this wound has been open. It started this summer, getting bigger. So I'm kind of concerned, and I gave the Lord, I just had this sense of urgency in my spirit. Okay, I need to give you 7 days, Lord. And if I don't have reduction in this open wound, if the inflammation doesn't go down, God, I'm kind of running out of faith here. I'm looking at chemo. I need you to intervene. I need you to do something. Because the oncologist told me, There's cancer under this wound. There's nothing underneath it that will heal it. There's no healthy skin. There's no healthy blood flow. The blood flow that should be healing this tumor is diverted to the, or should be healing the wound is going to the tumor, because I know the tumor's still there. So they've told me the only way you can heal this wound is to do chemo. You have to shrink the tumor. So it's like, okay, God, I'm running out of faith here. I'm going to give you 7 days, and I need to see something. So I'm really pressing into the Word. I'm listening to Kenneth Copeland, to Healing Ministries, all of this. And I go to lunch with Renee, and I tell her, okay, I've given him 7 days. We run into a friend of hers who had the same diagnosis about the same time I did. She went the conventional route. She comes over the table, we, you know, talk. She's with a friend, so we can't talk a whole lot. At any rate, fast forward, 2 days later was like the end of the 7 days. And Scott and I have season tickets, or an annual pass or whatever you call it, to the new restaurant theater. So we went there, and that's a dinner theater, and we sit down, and they give you a playbill that gives you, you know, the I don't know, who the actors are and what the storyline, blah, blah, blah is. Well, I open it up, and there's a page right in front of me, and it's for St. Luke's Center for Advanced Breast Care, or Breast Cancer. And they do immunotherapy, and they do advanced genomic testing. Well, I've been looking at a clinic, several clinics in Mexico, where they do immunotherapy. But it's crazy expensive. It's like $40,000. So that was kind of my back pocket thing, and we've looked at options on how we could finance that, blah, blah, blah. So I opened this thing up right there, immunotherapy. So I'm like, So that was like the end of the 7 days, right? So I'm like, okay, maybe this is a sign. So I go home, call the next day, set up an appointment. Long story short, I've fallen in love with this oncologist. He gave me 3 options, one of which was non-chemo. So I'm starting immunotherapy on Tuesday. And the way that that works is it actually kickstarts your immune system so that it's in hyperdrive so that it can naturally attack a tumor. So no chemo involved. But in order to do this, I had to do some testing. So I went in last Tuesday on Valentine's Day for a PET scan. And I was really concerned because we've tried to get two PET scans through before. They've all been denied. Insurance won't pay for it. Well, this doctor gets it pushed through within like an hour of it being declined. He calls, gets on the phone with the head of insurance, does a peer-to-peer review. I've never had anyone go to bat for me like that. They want you to do chemo. That's where the money is. They want chemo. So, anyway, the last MRI that I did, there were spots in my liver and lungs that showed up. And my kidneys. So I was very apprehensive going in to do the PET scan because that was back in November. And if there were spots back then, you know, probably there's been some progression. In the meantime, I got on to the pathology report from the biopsy that they did to diagnose. And I found, they did three cross-sections. And I'm just setting, I want you to understand the severity of what the enemy wants me to think is my death sentence. Of the three cross sections, at least one of the cross sections was a grade 2. The other one, could have been two of the three, was a grade 3. Now, with staging on cancer, they stage, for those of you that are blessed to never have walked in the cancer world, here's a layman's explanation of it. And I know we have some medical people in here, so bear with me on my simple terms. When they stage you, what that has to do with this is with the size of the tumor and whether there's metastasis and all of this. When they grade a tumor, that has to do with how aggressive it is. Grade one is not, I mean, it's cancer, but it's not that aggressive. It's slow growing. Grade two is more aggressive. Grade three is very aggressive. So again, I had both grade two and grade three sections removed, aggressive to very aggressive in this tumor. So I'm apprehensive going into this PET scan thinking, oh dear God, I'm doing what I think I was supposed to do. You know, you got to help me out. So we go in, do the PET scan. I had lab work done, and I was able to pull my lab work up before we went in to see Dr. Pluard last Thursday. And it looked good. My tumor marker has not moved. My C-reactive protein, which is a protein that is manufactured or made in the liver, the last oncologist wouldn't even pull a C-reactive protein marker because she said, it's going to be through the roof. I'm not even going to pull it. I'm not going to do it. Everyone with cancer, it's through the roof. You don't even need to know it. So she wouldn't do it. Well, Dr. Pluard, I told him this story, and I said, even if it's through the roof, I want a benchmark. I need to know where it is. And what it measures is inflammation, infection, chronic issues in your body. So it's a pretty accurate marker for not just cancer, but for really anything, arthritis, you know, a cold, whatever. It's a very accurate marker. So anyway, when I pulled it up online, now normal is 10 and below, right? So for a C-reactive protein marker, you want 10 and below. That's a healthy person. If you have cancer, you know, it could go 100, 200, it could go literally through the roof. So I didn't know that he was pulling a C-reactive protein marker, but I'm scrolling through, and I see that he pulled a C-reactive protein marker. Again, what is normal? 10 or below. Pull it up. I am under 5. I'm under 5. But I got this open wound going on, right? So I have outward evidence that there's still something not right in my body. It's something, you know, I mean, it's contrary. My markers are contrary to what I'm seeing. So again, tumor marker is normal. C-reactive protein under 5. And this was confirmed Friday night. I'll tell you a little side story, and I'll keep it very short. We went to dinner. My sister's, I won't even go into that relationship, but her friend was with us, and he used to be a practicing doctor. And anyway, we got into a conversation, and I said, hey, I'm going to put my C-reactive protein up against yours. And he's into running and healthy, organic food, all of this. And he says, oh, I'll take that. Yours is going to be through the roof. He said, I know, because, and I said, I am under 5. The guy didn't believe me. He didn't believe me because he knows how impossible that is, right? So anyway, we go in. I'm kind of nervous on Thursday because we're going to look at the PET scan. And yeah, I had spots in the liver and lungs and kidneys. And I don't know what I'm going to hear. So Dr. Pluard walks in, and he says, everything's contained. The tumor, there is no metastasis. There's nothing going on in your liver, in your lungs, in your kidneys. Now, here's the crazy thing. I had a grade 3 very aggressive tumor. Very aggressive. That, a year and a half ago, it should be all over my body by now, in the natural. If I were, you know, just the average Joe Schmo who was not standing on the Word of God, it should be riddled in my body. It is contained in this tumor. And guess what? This wound, I could see this on the PET scan. It's a 3D, you know what I'm talking about. It is a 3D scan of your body. He flipped it around. I could see this tumor is growing out of my body. That is what the wound is. It is not growing in. It is trying, it is performing surgery on itself. So it looks bad. So the evidence that I have, if I'm just looking in the natural, it looks pretty grim because this thing, if I saw this, I mean, it's like watching a child grow. When you see him every single day, you don't realize how big they are, but when you don't see a child for some time and they have a growth spurt, it's like, for the love of God. So, I mean, if I saw this tumor 6 months ago, this wound, I would have been freaked out. And I forget until like a new doctor sees it, you know, and I see the look of horror on their face, that, I mean, it's really bad. And I've been documenting it, but it's performing surgery on itself. So, you know, and the Word of God says the life of the flesh, the life of the flesh, this is my flesh, is in the blood. Now I have this cancer file right here shows that I have perfect blood. I have perfect blood. So, totally. So that is what I'm claiming over this wound. That is what I'm claiming over this tumor. So I share this with you to say you might have evidence to the contrary that God's word maybe isn't going to work for you. Maybe you're the exception. Maybe you don't deserve it. But I'm here to tell you that evidence can be a liar. And until I saw my blood work and until I saw the 3D PET scan, I thought I'm going down because it's a grade 3 tumor. That's my story. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ himself took my sins in his body on the cross so that I might die to sin and live to righteousness. Amen. So there's my testimony. Oh, and by the way, this, you guys might have heard this. I don't know if I heard someone say this, but I'm walking through my test right now, my test, to have a testimony. So don't reject your test. Don't do it. You can learn things from it. Now, the only way that this thing could overtake me is if I agree with the enemy. But I'm not going to. I'm not going to. So God will give you people to speak life into you. He will give you prophetic words that might be contrary to the evidence that you're looking at. But God's word is true. It is true. It is true. And that's what I have. And if anyone wants proof, I will show you. I'm so proud of this. I want to frame it. There you go.
I would just say a few things too, with Chrissy is, what was so funny is the friend that was a divine appointment at the restaurant when I had lunch with her on Tuesday, that was actually her doctor's Dr. Plouard. And, this doctor is really the only one in the area that works on a different scale than the chemotherapy being the normal. So it was just like the Lord was setting Chrissy up to be able to see and to see my friend, and she's healthy. She's vibrant. She refused the full boat of the chemo that they wanted to put her through. She only did a few, but just this doctor is truly an amazing doctor. So the Lord is with us every step and every part of the journey. And there is no doubt, like I was telling Chrissy last night, as that tumor is being tortured in her body, because her body is a life spring of health and healing. And it is. And the only way it has to get out is to come out, and you know, you just don't know, but I'm going to tell you something. She is a walking miracle, and she will continue to show forth the glory and the goodness of God in the land of the living. And her testimony, you know, so I want to encourage all you guys, is that it's been an amazing journey, and it has been a journey where we have walked with her, and she has done many things holistically that the Lord spoke to her. She's been diligent and faithful. She has gotten into that word of God, and she's just made it a part of her DNA. So there's like, and God has a strategy for each one of you. Whatever you're facing, He has a strategy, and it's a strategy for life, healing, health, and wholeness. So we don't give in. We don't ever give in to the lies of the enemy. Ever, 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 ever. So, praise God. And one other thing too, I'm going to tell you guys, because it was truth healing, because you know my story supernaturally, how the Lord healed me of something that the doctor said, there's no way you could be healed from. There was no solution for it. You know, it was a major, you know, my sister knows it was just something in my family and a curse, and there was nothing they could do to heal you from the type of, allergy thing that I had. With the manifestation of the open wounds and the sores and the scabs, and it was just a yucky thing. But this is what God does, is that sometimes what happens is we come into an agreement with our condition and say, well, my condition says that that won't work for me, that type of strategy or that type of thing because of my condition. Well, this is what the Lord says. If I tell you to do something, I am dealing with that condition according to what I have said, not what the doctor or research says. So that's one thing. If there's something that you guys are facing, some immune system or whatever, and you've researched it and all the research says, you know, this will not work for you because you've got this certain thing. I'm telling you what, God loves to take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He will take everything that is known to man and turn it upside down so that He will receive glory and honor, because healing is ours. Listen, it's just part of the atoning work. Jesus Christ took stripes on His back so that we could be healed. For a Christian, that's just our right. It's all right. It's all right. And then what Jesus said, He loves it for us to pray for those that are not Christians, because He wants to heal them so they can know that He's real and that He's alive. But for a Christian, that's just part of the atoning work. It's part of being in the kingdom of the living God, you know, and sometimes we have to contend for it. So it's never a matter of if. It's never a matter of if. Ever, ever, ever. God has already said it's done, but it's a matter of when and how. When and how. That's it. It's never an if. So praise God, Chrissy. We're standing with you. We're standing with Crystal. We're standing with all those in here who are believing God for a miracle. Because, hey, Jesus already did it. It's finished.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And that's confirmation, Renee, because what I was hearing as she was talking, what I was hearing was, that's how God's healing is. He's pulling, it's coming out. It's dying outside of the body without doing any further damage to her body. So that's what I was hearing. So it's not the norm. Nothing with God is normal. Ever. Ever. And one point you made was that even though it looks like it looks, it's not what it looks like. Because there's something else going on. And that's one thing with God. It's never what it looks like. Even in a court, you've got two sides that have to present facts, but the facts they present doesn't mean it's absolute truth. So, you know, it's not always what it looks like. I use the example, you can have a glass that's got water in it, and you can say, is it half full or is it half empty? And people can say, oh, it's half full, it's half empty. But the truth of the matter is it's always full, because even if it's half full of water, it's half full of air. So it's always full. So it's not always what it looks like. The enemy will get you to focus on what you can see physically in the natural, but then you have to realize what God is telling you in the supernatural, because it's nothing. What the enemy throws at you is nothing. So I'm waiting to hear you say, guess what? I woke up one day and it just fell off, or it just dropped off, and it's supernaturally healed. Everything's closed. There's no scar. There's nothing. It's just like gone. And I'm waiting for that. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And I'm waiting for something similar from you too. It's coming. It's coming. Okay, Cherie is the one that makes these beautiful, beautiful displays for the Hebrew months, every month that it comes in. She makes these beautiful displays, and each month has a meaning, and there's certain things that are supposed to happen during the month, and it is just totally amazing. So, Cherie, if you want to take a moment to...
This is really exciting, because Joe usually has me do this right when the month starts, and we're almost through with this, but this is the perfect timing because of what's happening today. So I'll try and explain it the best way I can. Oh my gosh. I usually start on this end because this is how the Lord has me set it up, and that's how he gives it to me, the vision for it. But I'm going to start on this end just because of what's happening. This is the month when God is our righteousness. And the definition of righteous, morally upright without guilt or sin, in accordance with virtue or morality, morality justified, Christ-likeness. Note, righteousness as used in scripture and theology, in which it chiefly occurs, nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holiness principles and affections of the heart, and conformity of life to the divine law. That's the definition of righteous. And you know what? We are all righteous in God's eyes. He doesn't look at our sin. He's teaching us how to be righteous. So that is freeing, so freeing. So anyway, God is righteous. This month, we're in the month of Shavuot, and it's the righteous one. The month of the year of trees, that's why you'll see different things around here that about trees. It's a month to proclaim my blessings are coming. Hallelujah. That goes right along with what's going on. And it takes it from Psalm 1, which is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, there's the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's Psalms 1:3. In this month, it's also a month to secure the generation. So if you can kind of pick out, you can see, I have this in my house. So we're grandparents. So it's grandma and grandpa with our grandchildren. So I've been really, seeking the Lord and really praying really hard for all my children. None of them are born again. And, all of our children. We have four daughters and none of the grandchildren are, but they're my inheritance and they're a promise to God. So this is the month to kind of seek and hone into that. This month is all about the tree, and the thing is this is not an olive tree, but just pretend it is. How is your olive tree growing? So it's growing well for you, Christine. The scripture in Isaiah 61:3 says they will be called oaks of righteousness. And there's that righteousness connection. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. You are planted he's planted in you for the display of his splendor. So you can't come out of this any way but splendorous and shining, and that's his glory shining through you. So it's the month, and I have a bunch of rooted plants up here. It's the month where your roots are saturated in the water of the Spirit, of the water of the Word, the water of the Holy Spirit. And so that's basically kind of what all this month is about.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so it's just one final thing. You know, just remember that if you are a child of the King, that you have his DNA running through your body. So anything that's there that's trying to destroy you has nowhere to go but out. Has nowhere to go but out. Can't stay there. So, you know, you think about that, man. It's like I want to run around the walls because it's like, hey, whatever hits me can't stay because I got his DNA running through me. My blood's supercharged, and if it's not supposed to be there, it's going to kick it out. So in Jesus' name. So is there anyone here that needs healing right now? Anyone that's not feeling well? Anyone that's having any pain in their body? Or just needs prayer for just anything at all? Okay, good. Everybody's blessed. Amen. Okay. So I'm just going to go ahead and close out in prayer, and then everyone have a beautiful afternoon. Looks like it's going to be another beautiful day out there. So, most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you are the God that created us. We thank you that you are our healer. We thank you that you are our provider, our supplier. Lord, we thank you that you are our protector. Lord, we thank you that you are the lifter of our heads. Lord, we thank you that you are our righteousness. We thank you that you are everything to us, Father, that we neither walk nor breathe or live outside of you. So, Lord, we honor you today. We bow before you in your presence, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. Father, I pray for everyone here, and it is my prayer, Father, that your truth will be revealed regardless of what their surroundings look like, Father. Regardless of how bad it looks, regardless of what others are saying, regardless of what is being presented before their eyes, Father, that your word will speak louder, that your truth will speak louder, Father, and that your report will be adhered to rather than the enemy's report. Father, I thank you that you have given us truth. I thank you, Father, that the sacrifice you made of your Son has given us freedom. I thank you, Father, that we have been released, Father, that we are no longer imprisoned, that we are no longer bound in chains, but, Father, we are free. And in our freedom, Father, we can free others. So, Father, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise today, Father. And as we leave this place, Father, I ask for your safety around each and every individual here, Father. And as we go through this week, let us not miss an opportunity that you present to us to share you with someone. And, Lord, we give you the glory and honor and praise, for it is in the name, power, and authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Everyone.